Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back to Southern New England Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Welcome back. It's Southern New England Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. Nick Coit, Scott Cordishi with you up until 9 o'clock. A lot of good takes here, Scott, about the last segment.
No need to rehash.
Nope. It's funny, though. One of them says, why do you let him come on the show? He ruins my day. And I said, well, poor Scotty. I think he gets
not just yours.
Yeah, right. We're very inclusive here. You know, we let everybody on. But all right, let's get back to some hoops talk. And we're happy to have Jay King from The Athletic joining us on the show this morning to talk some Boston Celtics. Good morning, Jay. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So, Jay, talking about this Celtics team, we're in the All-Star break now. I think one of the topics people are going to watch this weekend is, you know, first off, is Kyrie Irving going to play in the All-Star game? And, you know, after missing the last two games with the knee issue, how should we feel? It seems like the team has come out and said, well, you know, it's good for him to have basketball activity, so it's not such a bad thing if he plays. You know, I guess what's the thought here? Will Kyrie play, and is it a good or bad thing for the Celtics?
I think there's a pretty good chance that he plays. Look, he was really close to playing the other night in their last game before the All-Star break. He's got another 4 or 5 days of rest and recovery to get ready for the All-Star game. It's not a big deal. Like, it's the All-Star game. He's going to go out there. He's going to shoot some wide-open shots. He's going to probably do something dazzling. I think the angst over whether he will play or not is probably too much. I don't think the Celtics care one way or the other whether he plays. And the simple fact of the matter is he was really close to playing in their two games before. They just want him 100%. And if he's 100%, then fine. Why not play in the All-Star break? They're in the All-Star game.
Sure.
Who cares?
Sure.
So, Jay, that's my thought about it.
I think the angst right now with Celtic fans is, what does Danny do this offseason? Because there's so many different ways he can go. I think ideally, if he had his druthers, he would acquire Anthony Davis and try to make a run at a championship this year with Davis and Kyrie, and then hope that he could keep both of them long term. But as you know, there's pitfalls to every direction that he turns in, because he could do that and then risk not having both of those guys in another year. You could have Irving in New York with Kevin Durant. You could have Davis in L.A. with LeBron. And then you could have given up some of your young talent like a Jason Tatum. What do you think Danny will do, and what do you think he should do moving forward?
Well, here's the thing. If they do acquire Anthony Davis, it'll have to be after July 1st when Kyrie officially opts out. So by then, they'll have a very good idea of whether Kyrie Irving is staying. And so if they do get Anthony Davis, they'll probably know whether they're going to get a long-term commitment from Kyrie Irving. And if they do get a commitment from Kyrie Irving, then they'd be very confident that Anthony Davis would stay with them because of all they have, because of all they've built, because of the talent they have, because of the chance to win a championship, because, you know, after playing in New Orleans, playing in Boston and contending would be probably eye-opening for Anthony Davis, and a totally different experience than he's had so far in the NBA. I think, obviously, going after Anthony Davis is the plan. That's the hope. That's the dream, and that's been something that they've been building for 3 years, 2 or 3 years at least. And so that's plan A right now. Go after Anthony Davis, and the fact that the Pelicans held on to him beyond the trade deadline makes you think that the Celtics will at least be very involved in those negotiations come July 1st. I'm not sure what they would pivot to if they don't get Anthony Davis, they are considered league-wide probably the favorites to go after him, to go get him, now that the Pelicans have held on to him past the trade deadline, and now that the Celtics can actually get involved in those negotiations over the summer.
Yeah, it seemed like with what happened before the trade deadline, Jay, you know, the thought was, is Anthony Davis, does he just really want to go play with LeBron in L.A.? You know, is that the case, first off? And secondly, with Dell Demps being let go by the Pelicans, how does that affect what could happen with the Celtics in negotiations in trying to acquire Anthony Davis?
Well, it was no secret that he wanted to push his way to the Lakers. I think that was pretty clear from how they handled everything. Anthony Davis's camp made it very clear that the Celtics were not on his list, which is fine. The Celtics, they don't really care. So the Lakers threat, the Celtics see it this way. If they don't trade for Anthony Davis, the Lakers, then with LeBron already 34 right now, there's a high likelihood that the Lakers end up using their cap space on somebody else. And by the time Davis is a free agent in 2020, will not be a realistic destination for him to sign. And so that threat really is probably minimized or eliminated entirely based on the fact that LeBron's not going to want to punt a season this deep in his career. So the Dell Demps thing, obviously it has an impact when the guy who's making decisions is fired and somebody else will come in to make decisions and give his input on whatever the trade packages are. I think pretty league-wide, the Celtics package of picks, young players, even veterans that they could offer to the Pelicans, everybody knows that that is a very, very good package. Now, could it be the difference, the new hire, could that be the difference between whether the Celtics acquire Davis or whether the Lakers acquire Davis? Yeah, I guess. I still think, you know, the owner is the one ultimately making the decision there in New Orleans. And that from everything it seems, I think the Lakers kind of botched this one by being so overt about their intentions. And I think they've kind of irritated the Pelicans throughout the process. So that could have an impact, too, on what the Pelicans do moving forward.
You know, obviously this would probably be tied to whether or not the Celtics do acquire Anthony Davis. But if they do not, I would think re-signing Marcus Morris has to be imperative, don't you? I mean, I just love the production you get from him. I mean, he's 6'9", he can hit the threes. And more importantly, he just brings that edge to this team, similar to what a Marcus Smart brings to the floor for them.
Yeah, and he's had a great, great contract year. He's improved his three-point shooting exponentially. And just by doing that, he made himself far more valuable. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with him in free agency because, obviously, he's a key piece of what the Celtics have done so far. He's been one of their best, most consistent players this season. The money, you know, with so many other guys lined up to make big money, whether it's Kyrie Irving, assuming he stays, Al Horford's already on his max contract. Gordon Hayward's already on a max contract. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, those guys are going to get paid. Marcus Smart, you know, he's already making substantial money. So at some point, the Celtics are going to have to make decisions probably based on finances. Will they get to that point with Marcus Morris? I'm not sure. They obviously value what he does and value what he brings. And I'm very interested to see what happens with him in free agency this summer to see whether they pony up enough money to keep him or whether he looks for another opportunity elsewhere. I know that he's loved it. But despite his comments about the fun the other night, he's loved it in Boston and thought that coming to the Celtics was for the best for his career. And so I know that he would be very interested in a return, assuming the Celtics give him that money.
Well, lastly, Jay, before we let you go, I look at this year's team and I say, you know, who could be the X factor? Who's a guy that they really need to play well in order to have success and make a deep postseason run? You know, is it a Marcus Morris? Who would you say it is? For me, and especially seeing his play, you know, to have an uptick recently, you know, could it be Gordon Hayward or is it somebody else that we're not talking about that would be a key to a deep postseason run?
Look, Gordon Hayward, an obvious X factor. If he gets right, then he brings them to a whole other level. I think Kyrie Irving, I'm very, very interested to see Kyrie Irving in the playoffs again. That guy has been a playoff killer throughout his career. Now he's not on LeBron's team anymore. Now it's his show. I want to see that. And then Al Horford. Al Horford is the guy that, to me, represents the biggest matchup problem for a lot of the teams that the Celtics will play in the postseason. You know, we've seen how Joel Embiid has had troubles guarding him and has had troubles scoring against him. Brook Lopez, starting center for the Bucks, I don't know if he can stay on the court against Horford because Horford will just stretch him out to the perimeter and make plays. So I think Horford, in a lot of ways, is not their – like, Kyrie is their best player, but against some of the matchups the Celtics will be playing or could play in the playoffs, Al Horford is just absolutely critical for them.
Jay, great stuff. Thank you for joining us. As always, we appreciate it, and good stuff. We'll talk to you down the road and hopefully into the postseason as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Take care, guys.
Thank you, Jay. Jay King of The Athletic joining us to wrap up the show. Scott, good stuff. Good show. A lot of Hoops talk today. Yeah. We're moving into that time of the year, which is fun. Good luck tonight at Brown. Hope the Bears pull off a win for you at Columbia.
Thank you. I'll see you back in studio next week.
Sounds good. All right. For Joe Passarelli, behind the glass, for Laura Minicucci, Scott Cordisci, I'm Nick Coyd. Have a great week, everybody, and thanks for tuning in to Southern New England Sports Saturday on WEEI.
This is Southern New England Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.